This is Yorma, and you're listening to Live from the Fur Peace Ranch.
Here's some more great songs from Verlin Thompson and Sean Camp.
I sure would like to hear Soldier's Joy.
Oh, man, I ain't done that in a while.
Yeah. I won't.
I'll try it. You want to play along?
Yeah. Now explain how does this fall into the Sis Dragon?
Well, it's supposed to be Sis's grandpa.
Okay.
Was a Civil War veteran and
okay.
Lost his leg in the war and all, you know. So.
Okay.
It's called Soldier's Joy 1864, or in parentheses, How I Became a Fiddle Player. That's the way Guy wanted the title to read. I have to admit, y'all, we did have a little bit of poetic license on these things, but there's some truth to some of it.
Hey, listen, you're not supposed to tell them anything about poetic license.
Oh, really? Okay.
I've been telling my people in the class, just stand up there and own it and tell it like it's true.
Well,
nobody gives a if it ain't.
That's like that line in Magnolia Wind when we wrote the Lonesome Stew. That was Guy's line, and I kind of laughed. We kind of laughed about it, and I thought, man, I just don't know if it's just going to be too corny to say that. I'm going to have to laugh when I sing that someday. He said, just say it. Just deadpan, just say it. And he was right, I guess.
Yeah, he is. It's one of my favorite lines.
But anyway, we wrote most of these things around old fiddle tunes, me being a fiddle player. And I moved to Nashville to play fiddle for the Osborne Brothers when I first got to town, and I played for a lot of different folks. But anyway, all these things were kind of around old-time fiddle tunes, and this was around our Soldier's Joy. But we made it in a minor kind of
key. Yeah.
First I thought a snake had got me, it happened lightning quick, but it was a bullet bit in my leg and right off I got sick. I came to in a wagon load of 10 more wounded men, 9 was dead by the time we reached that bloody 10. Give me some of that soldier's joy, you know what I mean, I don't want to hurt no more, my leg is turning green. Well, a doctor come and he looked at me, and this is what he said. He said, your dancing days are done, son, it's a good thing. To work with the carving knife, sweat fell from his brow, about killed me trying to save my life when he cut that lip all out. Give me some of that soldier's joy, ain't you got no more, hand me down my walking cane, I ain't cut out for more. All over the floor, dripping down his apron strings like a river out the door. He handed me a bottle and said, son, drink deep as you can. Turned away, then he turned right back with the hacksaw in his hand. Give me some of that soldier's joy, you know what I like. Bear down on that fiddle boy, just like Saturday night. Give me some of that soldier's joy, you know what I crave. I'll be hitting that soldier's joy till I'm in my grave.
Sean Camp and the Sis Draper Saga.
Thank you. You guys wrote one of my, I mean, this next song on the list is my favorite, I think, that you guys wrote in this vicinity.
In this very near vicinity, yeah.
Really?
Like, in fact, right there at the back door.
Wow.
Yeah, it was first time I ever came here, the guy, I didn't know anything about any kind of fur piece, nothing. And the guy just announced one day, "We're going to the fur piece, you're going with me, I gotta teach. I ain't never taught nothing, you're gonna help." I never taught anything either. But we found ourselves sitting right back here. We started off inside the building right back there, and we had nine, I believe they were all guys, nine gentlemen in the class. And I remember it perfectly, man. Everybody was so ready to go. All nine of them were in it like a half moon, and every one had their guitars on their lap. Sitting there, and guy walked in and goes, "Well, I don't know how to teach about writing songs. If y'all want to write a song, let's write a song." And he goes, we got to figure out what it's going to be about. And then he kind of scanned the room, and he goes, "It's obviously going to be about a guitar." And from that moment on, everybody jumped in, all nine guys started just spouting out lines, and Guy and I basically sat in front of them and caught these lines as they went whizzing by.
Wow.
And put them on a paper. And then, of course, I think John mentioned earlier, they actually waived the no smoking thing for a little while for Guy, and so we all wanted to move outside. He wanted to move outside so he could smoke freely, So we go out there, and it's pretty chilly. It's about this time of year, and it's chilly, and we're sitting out there, and old guy just kind of ramrodded the whole thing. And the next thing you know, we had us a little song, But the truth is, when we left here, Sean, we were both kind of exhausted. Man, this teaching thing's hard. And we didn't really want to see that song for a while, and we just kind of filed it away. And about a year later, I got a call from one of the students, and I believe he lived out in maybe Phoenix or somewhere, and he called me. I said, "Verlin, do you remember how that song about the guitar went?" And I said, "No, I said, make up your own melody, whatever, it'll be fine, But he got me to thinking, and I reached in my files and pulled out the lyrics to the song. That it was in Guy's handwriting on that old graph paper, the way he used to write, big block, manly letters. I mean, everything he wrote on the page was like, with a purpose,
Yeah.
He didn't just like scribble. He. Anyway, I slapped that lyric on the table, and I just started looking at it, and I just started playing some chords and reading out loud, speaking the lyrics. And when I finished, my hair on the back of my neck was standing up, and I said, "Oh, man, this is good." And I called Guy, and I said, "Guy, I'm coming over. I want to play you something." And he thought I had a new song, I walked in, slapped the lyric on his desk, and did the same thing. I just started making up some chords and reading it off the page. And when I finished, old Guy goes, "I'm cutting that." And about 2 weeks later, we were in the studio recording it. And if you look at that album, you'll see all nine of those gentlemen are listed right there in the credits. And giving credit where credit's due. Passing by a pawn shop over in the older part of town when something caught my eye and I stopped and turned around. I went inside and there I spied in the middle of it all this beat up old guitar just hanging on the wall. What do you want for that piece of junk? I asked the old man. He just smiled and he took it down and he put it in my hand. He said, you tell me what it's worth, son. You're the one that wants it. Said, tune it up and play a song and let's just see what haunts it. Do it again. I hit a couple licks in my old country way of strumming. And then my fingers turned to lightning. Man, I never saw it coming. It was like I always knew it, but I don't know where I learned it. It was a dream come true, so I just reared back and burned it. Nothing I couldn't pick, man. Up and down that neck, I never missed one lick. It was like that guitar played itself, and there was nothing I could do. And it was getting kind of hard to tell just who was playing who. And when I finally finished, I was almost out of breath. My hands were shaking, and my old shirt was soaking wet. And that old man jumped up and grinned, and he said, "Where in the hell you been?" Said, I've been waiting all these years for you to stumble in. And he grabs an old beat-up case and he said, go on, man, pack it up. He said, you don't owe me nothing. But when he said good luck, there was something spooky in his voice. And there was a strange look on his face. And when I closed the lid, I saw my name was on that case.
Live from Yorma Kaukonen's Fur Peace Ranch is a co-production of the Fur Peace Ranch and WOUB Public Media. The concert producer is Vanessa Kaukonen. The radio series producer is Rusty Smith. Audio engineers Rusty Smith and Adam Rich.
This is Yorma, and you're listening to Live from the Fur Peace Ranch. Here's some more great songs from Verlin Thompson and Sean Camp.
My purpose for being here was to teach a songwriting class, and it's kind of unfortunate because the first thing I told these guys when I walked in the classroom was, I can't teach you to write a song. Sorry y'all paid all that money. But what I told them is that, I can't teach you to write a song, but hopefully I might be able to inspire you to want to figure out your way of doing it, and that you'll continue and that you can write some songs and leave your little mark here on this planet, you know? And we talked about, the commercial aspect of songs, and I don't, this probably is wrong of me as a teacher, but I try to steer people away from trying to be a professional, like money-making songwriter. In my opinion, you should just use songs to help and reach out and touch and, try to make things better, and there's a lot of ways that songs can do that. And this is one of Guy's songs that he wrote when his father passed away. They had a bit of a contentious relationship, I would say. And apparently when Guy's father passed away, he couldn't grieve. He couldn't grieve. And it was kind of bothering him that he couldn't. And he finally sat down and he wrote this song as a means of getting some of that emotion out. And he said that this song, when he wrote it, was not meant for anybody else to hear. He wrote it strictly for his own self-help. And his wife, Susanna, happened to hear him playing it, sitting at the kitchen table, and she said, "Guy, what is that?" He said, "Oh, it's just a song I wrote. This one's just for me, nobody else is going to hear this." And she goes, "No, sir, Guy, you are wrong. Everyone needs to hear this." And so he started playing it, and I believe he found a way to, well, I know he did. You'll hear in this song. So, song about a Randall knife. My father had a Randall knife. My mother gave it to him. when he went off to World War II to save us all from ruin. If you've ever held a Randall knife, then you know my father well. If a better blade was ever made, it was probably forged in hell. My father was a good man, a lawyer by his trade. And only once did I ever see him misuse the blade. Well, it almost cut his thumb off. He took it for a tool. But you see, the knife is made for darker things, and you could not bend the rules. Well, he let me take it camping once on this Boy Scout jamboree, and I broke a half an inch off trying to stick it in a tree. I hid it from him for a while, but the knife and he were one. He put it in the bottom drawer without a hard word one. And there it slept, and there it stayed for 20 some odd years. Sort of like Excalibur, except waiting for a tear. Father died when I was 40. I couldn't find a way to cry. Not because I didn't love him, not because he didn't try. I'd cried for every lesser thing, whiskey, pain, and beauty. But he deserved a better tear, and I was not quite ready. We took his ashes out to sea and we poured them off the stern. We threw the roses in the wake of everything we'd learned. We got back to the house and they asked me what I wanted. Not the watch, not the law book. I need the thing he's haunted. Oh, my hand burned for that Randall knife there in the bottom drawer. And I found a tear for my father's life and all that it stood for. It don't get no better than that, Mama. Oh, man. It's one of my favorite parts of the show, y'all. I got to sit back and watch Sean and Guy over the course of how many years did y'all work on that?
I don't know. Several years. 8 or 10 years.
Had to be 8 or 10 years. And, you know, every month or so, they would surprise me with a new song in this series of songs that I hope one day Sean will turn into a concept album or a book or a movie or a podcast. I don't care, but do something with it, Sean.
I'm going to try, man.
Tell them what it's all about.
Well, I was down there talking to Guy one day, trying to come up with something to write about, and didn't have anything to write about. Half the day was gone, and the room was filled with smoke. And I got to telling Guy about this lady I knew in Arkansas when I was a kid named Sis Draper that played fiddle. And Actually, sis, when I was like 8 years old or something, she asked me for my autograph. I didn't know I even had an autograph. I didn't even know what an autograph was at that. And so I signed my very first autograph to Sis Draper, man. So, but she, my grandpa, my Uncle Cleve used to always talk about her before I ever met her, and I was just learning to play guitar. And at the time, I started playing when I was 5, and mandolin at 7, you know. And so, and fiddle always just like intrigued me, and you know, I didn't start playing fiddle till, well, one time I got a, Lige McDonald came to the house, and he brought his wife's fiddle and loaned his fiddle to me because I'd scratched around on it at a picking party one time. And so I scratched around for a couple of days, and my mama was washing dishes about the second day, and I heard her slam some dishes. Get that fiddle and get it in the case. We're taking it back to Lige McDonald. So I was 12. I didn't see another fiddle till I was 15. I had to take it. But anyway, so when Sis Draper finally showed up at this picking party at my grandpa's house, she walked in the door with a big beehive hairdo and a fiddle in a coffin case, and man, I thought she was something, you know. And she was a world traveler to somebody from Perry County, Arkansas, I'll tell you. So they always, Uncle Cleve always shined his boots up just a little bit more when Sis was coming through. So anyway, this was the first song of a series of 12, I think we wrote, around Sis and the characters in my family. Kick your shoes off in the corner, Mama tucked them babies all up snug. Sis Draper's coming over and we all gonna cut a rug. See that lantern swinging yonder coming up the holler road. Them dogs will get to barking, all to tie them all up with a rope. Now you boys better get in tune, Sis Draper's gonna be here soon. Don't shoot no dice or get too tight if you're gonna pick with Sis tonight. Well, she came down from the Boston Mountains. There was lightning in the air, honey on them fiddle strings, a magnolia in her hair. Now she's a diamond in the rough. If you can't see the shine, that's tough. She'll play all night for the likes of us. Sis Draper's got the touch. She'll play all night if she feels like it. Have some fruit punch if you spike it. And Sis don't care who don't like it. See, old Sis has got a hell of a bow arm on her. Stepped right up, sawed one off, and Uncle Cleve dropped his jaw. He said, she's the best I ever saw. She must be from Arkansas. I think Grandpa used to date her. Grandma says she still hates her, and all the fellas stand up straighter in the presence of Sis Draper. Sis Draper is the devil's daughter, plays the fiddle daddy bought her, plays it like her mammy taught her, she's a traveling Arkansas-er. Box and said it's getting awful late. She's on her way to Little Rock, and Little Rock can't wait. So we all stood out in the yard, hands all full of watermelon. Watched her leave and watched her go, wishing we was in that wagon.
says Stripper is the devil's daughter, plays the fiddle that his bought her, plays it like her mammy taught her, she's a traveling Arkansas here. Sleep in a box like a bum on the street, and in a fine feather bed without your little old cold feet. I'd rather be dead, dumb and stone blind, and to know that your mornings will never be mine. I'd rather not walk through the garden again if I can't catch your scent on a magnolia. Comes time to go, sis, just pack up your fiddle, sis, pack up your bow. If I can't dance with you, well, then I won't dance at all. I'll just sit this one out with my back to the wall. I'd rather not hear pretty music again if I can't catch your fiddle on a magnolia. I'd rather die young than to live without you. I'd rather go hungry than to eat lonesome stew. is once in a lifetime, and it won't come again. No, it's here and it's gone on a magnolia blue. I'd rather not. If I can't get your scent on a magnolia man.
I could listen to these all night long. I'm going to ask Sean to do one more, if you would, or two or five. I don't care. from that Sis Draper saga, man.
All right, I'll do y'all this one. It's called The Death of Sis Draper. We had to get rid of her.
They had to kill her off.
And then we went to his birthday party at Jim McGuire's art photography studio, and guy was sitting at the kitchen table. I remember rolling a cigarette. He saw me come in after we'd written The Death of Sis Draper. And he said, fires it up. You know what we got to write now, don't you? No. He said, The Ghost of Sis Draper. So we wrote a couple of versions of The Ghost of Sis Draper. Anyway. Had a guitar picker named Kentucky Sue, and everywhere old Sis played, Sue was picking too. They worked their way from town to town, she fiddled away out west, and every town they blew through, they said Sis was the best. She played the dances, played the bars, neath the western stars. Sis was getting on in years, she lived it pretty hard, burned both ends of the candle, broke a many heart. Mexico, with the snowstorm coming on, they thought they'd just wait it out and play the El Patron. Then some old gal with coal black eyes was in a jealous tip. She was quite sure that her old man was slipping around with Sis. She was a waitress at the El Patron out on the edge of town. She poisoned Sis's whiskey and Sis just drank it down. Sis started feeling poorly, so she laid her fiddle down. They dug a shallow grave and they laid Sis down beneath that ground with a fiddle in a coffin case. Kentucky Sue played Shady Grove on an old beat-up guitar. With the tears a-rolling down her face, she took it pretty hard. And somewhere in the distance you could hear a mission bell. Some good folks go to heaven and some folks go to hell. Sister Draper went to Arkansas, and that's all there is to tell. Hey.
This is live from Jorma Kalkinen's Fur Peace Ranch. This concert with Verlin Thompson and Sean Camp, recorded October 30th, 2021.
Hi, I'm Jorma Kalkinen. Welcome to Live from the Fur Peace Ranch.
We've had Verlin Thompson here at the ranch many times. He's a dear old friend of mine. This time, he brings one of his buddies, Sean Camp. You're going to get a chance to hear two of Guy Clark's collaborators in a tribute to the great late songwriter, Verlin Thompson and Sean Camp.
I got an old blue shirt, suits me just fine. Like the way it feels, so I wear it all the time. I got an old guitar, won't ever stay in tune. I like the way it sounds in a dark and empty room.
I got an old pair of boots, and they fit just right. I can work all day and I can dance all night. I got an old used car that runs just like a top. I get the feeling it ain't ever gonna stop. Stuff that works, stuff that holds up, the kind of stuff don't hang on the wall. Stuff that's real, stuff you feel, the kind of stuff you reach for when you fall.
Got a pretty good friend who's seen me at my worst. He can't tell if I'm a blessing or a curse. But he always shows up when the chips are down. And that's the kind of stuff I like to be around.
Amen, John.
Stuff that works, stuff that holds up, the kind of stuff you don't hang on a wall. Stuff that's real, stuff you feel, the kind of stuff you reach for when you fall.
Got a woman I love, she's crazy, she paints like God. She's got a playground sense of justice, she don't take odds. I got a tattoo with her name right through my soul. And I think everything she touches turns to gold.
Stuff that works, stuff that holds up, the kind of stuff you don't hang on the wall. Stuff that's real, oh, stuff you feel, the kind of stuff you reach for when you fall. Thank you. yourself, you feel the kind of stuff you don't hang on the wall.
Stuff that's real.
Yeah, did we mention that?
Stuff you feel. The kind of stuff you reach for when you fall.
Yeah, I might have been wrong about that one. I don't know. We might have been able to mess that one up.
No, you know what? That ending was so sweet. That's like...
It's different every time, isn't
it? Yeah. That's what it's the beauty of all this stuff is that, you know, a screw-up leads to a beautiful moment, like seconds later. Because I love the way that ended, and it wouldn't have ended that way had we did it right.
It only happens once, no matter what you do, man.
Yeah.
You're never going to be exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, if y'all want to hear perfection, go buy our CDs.
Yeah. Good point.
By the way, there are some available over there. Sean's got some. I didn't bring no CDs. I'm on strike.
I've been on strike. Everybody usually walks around mine like a pile of rattlesnakes. But there's a few over there, if y'all feel brave enough to go over there and try one.
Well, it don't matter. They're all good. You got some great records, man.
I guess when I started...
You can't mess up a Sean Camp record.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What?
I was going to say, I guess that when you... I got a guy called me one time to go on tour with him, and I had just been friends and played a few shows with y'all. But he said, Sean, guy fell off a ladder. You're going to have to come.
Verling fell off.
Oh, yeah. Verling fell off a ladder. You got to come out on the road with me. Got a tour. So, you know, after we figured out he was going to make it, I said, man, count me in, you know, I'll be there. But it really changed a lot of dynamics because I don't know, man. It just shifted gears for me and Guy and you and everybody, and the relationship we had, you know, it turned into, I don't know, we just got closer during that time.
We did. And, you know, it's funny, just to take one step back so these folks know, the first time Sean and I joined up as a team with Guy was in Little Rock, Arkansas one night.
My hometown.
Yeah, Sean's from over that way. And so I'm in the van riding to Little Rock with Guy one day, and he goes, well, we're going to have a special guest tonight. I said, really, who we got? Sean Camp. And I'd heard of Sean. I might even met you. But
probably.
I didn't remember much about it. But anyway, we get there, and Guy didn't even tell us what song, didn't rehearse with us or nothing, just said, well, come on, let's... And we got on the stage, and I got over here. Sean walked up over there.
We had identical shirts on. The guy said, I guess you boys got the memo.
And he just kicked it off, and we tore into it. And by the end of the night, I knew that I was forever hooked up with this guy right here.
Well, back at you, brother. And we're instant brothers.
Yeah. So thank you, Guy, for that. I really thank Guy for that. And then, so, you know, years later, I fell off of my roof, broke my wrist.
Both wrists and neck and everything, right?
I screwed myself up.
You lived through that, man, I'm telling
Seriously,
you.
Seriously, I am a lucky guy.
You had cages and casts on your hand. Tell them about what that was like.
He, you know, it is Halloween. We can get a little gory, I guess.
Let's get gory with these folks, man.
No, it was serious. That they, they put plates and pins in my. I still got, you know, extra parts, but they sent me home after about 4 or 5 days, and sent me home with a big old bottle of pain pills. And like Sean said, I had a cast on this whole arm and hand, and on over here they put like a wire cage with a bar that they could crank and tighten up, you know, and it really was like Frankenstein kind of stuff. Anyway, if you've never tried to get open a bottle of pain pills with a wire cage and a cast around, all you can do is kind of maybe get the lid off with your teeth and get the bottle between your cage and your pop bar, and then you lean back and you get about 3 or 4 times more pills than you need because you can't really control it, and the next thing you know, you're out for about 4 days. And then one day you see a light out of the little split in your eye, and you look up and you see like a psychedelic smoky haze above you, and you think you're hallucinating because in the midst of that haze you see what looks like Guy Clark's silhouette floating up there above you, and you're thinking, I gotta find a better way to get into those pills. But then you keep kind of trying to get your eyes open a little more, and finally you realize that, wait a minute, this is not a hallucination. This is real, because it is. It's Guy Clark. He's standing right over me. It's his silhouette. He's here. He's come to visit me.
Wow.
And it is, in fact, a smoky haze. Because as you do, when you go visit the sick and afflicted, you fire one up and you stand right over the top of them and you blow big old smoke rings. But I didn't even care, Sean. I didn't care, because I was just, you know, in my heart, I was thinking, man, Guy Clark has come to visit me. And I could tell he was getting ready to say something. And I just couldn't wait to hear what he had to say. And it seemed like it took forever, but finally he spoke, and this is what he said. You didn't trust your cape, did you? That's what he said.
Man, that ain't no story. That is real, and I know it. Just like him.
Old with a flour sack cape tied all around his neck, climbing up on the garage, he's figuring what the heck. He screws his courage up so tight that the whole thing come unwound. He got a running start, and bless his heart, he headed for the ground. But he's one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath, and always trust your cape. He's all grown up with a flour sack cape tied all around his dreams. He's full of piss and vinegar, and he's busting at the seams. So he licks his finger and checks the wind. He says it's gonna be do or die. He wasn't scared of nothing, y'all. He's pretty sure he could fly. 'Cause he's one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath, and always trust your cape. body's old and gray with a flour sack cape tied all around his head. He's still jumping off the garage and he will be till he's dead. And all these years the people said he is acting like a kid. Well, he did not know that he could not fly, so he did. Because he's the one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath and always trust your cake. Be one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath and always trust your cake. Spread your arms and hold your breath, y'all, and always trust your cake.
This is live from Jorma Kalkinen's Fur Peace Ranch. This concert with Verlin Thompson and Sean Camp, recorded October 30th, 2021.